This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. If you have health insurance and it comes with a prescription drug plan, it may be managed by a pharmacy benefit manager. PBMs are companies that manage prescription drug benefits on behalf of health insurers. By negotiating with drug manufacturers and pharmacies to control drug spending, PBMs have a significant impact in determining total drug cost, and they have faced growing scrutiny about their role in rising prescription cost and spending. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost began investigating PBMs in 2018 while he was state auditor. And this summer, the PBM Centene Corporation agreed to pay the state of Ohio $88.3 million to settle a lawsuit filed by Yost alleging the pharmacy benefit manager overbilled the Ohio Department of Medicaid for pharmacy services it provided. I spoke earlier with two individuals hoping to further address this situation. Here is our recorded conversation. Joining us now is Antonio Chacha, president of Three Axis Advisors and also CEO of 46 Brooklyn Research. Antonio, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
We have Sally Greenberg, executive director of the National Consumers League. Sally, thank you for being with us.
Great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have both of you, and I'm anxious to talk about this because people often complain about how much they're spending on prescription drugs or whether they can't get their hands on generic versions of prescription drugs. It's one of the high costs of healthcare in America. This particular segment was pitched to us with the perspective that consumers are facing an unfair disadvantage because when they go to their local pharmacist, they're dealing with something that might be called a pharmacy benefit manager, which critics say is driving up the prices of prescription drugs. Antonio, can you explain to us what a pharmacy benefit manager is?
Yes, so a pharmacy benefit manager is the administrative middleman between the insurance company and the drug maker, but they also live between the insurance company and the pharmacy and the insurance company and the patient. If you think that drug prices are rotten to the core, at the very core of the drug pricing system are these little known pharmacy benefit managers, which started off years ago as claims processors, nothing more than a Visa or a MasterCard, essentially, for your prescription drug transaction. But over time, as our reliance on insurance for medication coverage has grown, these small little middlemen became Fortune 15 companies right before our very eyes. And today are actually the largest members of the drug supply chain, eclipsing the size of drug makers and pharmacies. So they're big, big influence on the prices of medications at the pharmacy counter.
How did that happen, Antonio?
Well, there's a number of things. You know, when you're in the middle of a very costly transaction and a very confusing transaction, there's a lot of opportunities for arbitrage, which is taking advantage of an asymmetry of information. You know, it's no secret that prescription drug pricing is incredibly complex and complicated. Most consumers don't understand the prices that are being charged when they reach the pharmacy counter. That lack of understanding is an opportunity. With mystery comes margin. And so the more complex and the more expensive the drugs get, the more opportunities there are for middlemen to exploit what's happening in the middle. And so PBMs started essentially as a very lean, mean transaction, but as the transaction got more and more complicated, they found more and more ways to pull money out of the middle.
Sally Greenberg is executive director of National Consumers League. Sally, do you agree with Antonio's characterization of what a PBM is?
Yeah, I think the important thing from a consumer perspective, and we are a consumer advocacy organization, is that consumers really don't know that pharmacy benefit managers or PBMs play a very big role in healthcare administration, and certainly with our access to pharmaceutical drugs. So as Antonio said, PBMs are big players. They're multi-billion dollar middlemen that administer prescription drug benefits for health plans. And they started out with the best intentions that they would administer plans. They would work on behalf of insurers. They would negotiate costs between pharmacies and health plans. But over time, as things got more and more expensive and complex, they started taking advantage of the pricing system. They operate with very little transparency and accountability to profit, and they became from being the lean and mean Antonio described, they became an end unto themselves, a profit center, which was really never intended when PBMs were created a number of decades ago. And today, the three biggest PBMs process roughly 77% of all prescription claims last year, and they pocketed $400 billion in revenue. So our argument is they are siphoning big chunks of money out of the pockets of consumers, sort of behind closed doors, because no one really understands from the consumer standpoint. But we as patients or consumers, we don't know what's driving those drug profit drug costs up and who's taking out the profits. And it turns out that this very hidden player, the PBMs, are extracting huge amounts of money out of the system, and it's driving the cost of drug prices up. One thing I wanted to add is that most of us know most of the players who we're dealing with. We're working with we know drug manufacturers, they advertise on TV, and we understand that there's a handful of, more than a handful, there's many manufacturers of drugs, so we know about those guys. Then we know that we have insurance, and we have an insurance card that tells us how to access our insurance. And we know who the pharmacists are because they're at our corner drugstore. But the vast majority of us don't understand or have a conception of this other hidden actor, the PBMs, and how much they're extracting from the system. So I think, you know, people say, well, why does the National Consumers League want to get, what's your goal? Our goal really is to shine a light on this factor driving the costs up for you and me to get our prescription drugs. We've created a website, nclnet.org/PBMS. To give people more background and information about the role that these PBMs play. And we like to see, we've seen some very good state legislation, and we want to shine a light on that too, and hope that places like Ohio, which has done some good things and curtailed the role of PBMs in some instances, will really take some action to wind down the PBM's role and get them back to a place where they're actually doing some good in the system, because right now they're really not adding much value, but they're taking huge profits out.
That's Sally Greenberg, Executive Director of the National Consumers League. We're also joined by Antonio Chacha, President of Three Axis Advisors and CEO of 46 Brooklyn Research. Sally, you just mentioned that you want to get these organizations back to, quote, doing some good. What is the role that you see PBMs playing in this process that may, according to you, be more beneficial to consumers?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to go back to how they started. They were meant to reduce administrative costs for insurers. They were there to administer plan benefits and take and negotiate costs between pharmacies and health plans, and do so in a transparent way and do so in a fair way. But instead, we've seen this explosion of profits by the PBMs themselves. And that was never intended to be their role. But as Antonio points out, you know, when you operate in this obscure system where it is complicated how drug prices are set, drug manufacturers are required to pay PBMs what are called rebates. They have to pay them rebates in order to get on the list of drugs that are covered by yours or my health insurance policy. Well, that has turned in kind of a shakedown operation where PBMs go in and they demand higher and higher rebates. And that comes out of the manufacturer's pocket, and then it ends up coming out of our pocket and going into the pockets of the PBMs. That isn't how the system was supposed to work. And so they sort of lost their way, gotten greedy, and become an end unto themselves and a profit center. And we need to try to stop that process, turn it around. Some states have passed some very effective legislation. West Virginia comes to mind. They're insisting that all the PBM profits go back into the hands of consumers. And we like that kind of approach. We like the transparency that other states have demanded. New Hampshire is one of them, so that we know where that money is going. And it shouldn't be going into the hands of PBMs. It should be coming back to us as patients and consumers.
Antonio, when we think about the price of prescription drugs, and often advocates for lower costs will point to other countries, including Canada, where perhaps you can get prescription drugs more cheaply. Is there a role that PBMs play in impacting the cost that we pay for popularly known drugs?
A big time. I'll give you a... When we hear about drug prices, we study drug prices on a daily basis. And when we hear complaints about prices, inevitably there's a magnetic pull in the direction of diabetics and medications specifically for insulin. Insulin has kind of been the hot button drug pricing issue. And I'll draw your attention to a drug called Lantus. This is an insulin product, very popular. This was reported in Axios earlier this year. The list price for a vial of Lantus is $284. But after the drug maker pays all of its discounts and rebates back to PBMs and government entities, Sally alluded to this, these drug makers pay to PBMs essentially operate like a tax. And anytime you tax a business, many people know that oftentimes that increased tax gets cooked into the prices that we all pay as consumers. The drug industry is no different. And so when you look at this Lantus vial, which is $284 list price, when you factor in all the rebates and discounts that the manufacturer pays to PBMs and insurance companies, the actual price of that medication is around $40. And so if you're a patient and you've been paying hundreds of dollars every month for a vial of insulin, that is you getting ripped off, because your PBM is procuring that medication for pennies on the dollar. And then when you show up to the pharmacy counter, they're telling you to pay a copay that is $250, $280, sometimes $300. And so it's not to say that the discounting system is inherently something that is evil. But if you look at drug prices and say, if we want to lower drug prices in a meaningful way as a society, how can you address drug pricing if there is that much fat cooked into the price? And so I believe a better aligned system would eliminate those rebates. I'm not an economist, okay, but as somebody who studies drug prices, it's impossible to look at insulin and say that $280 price is too high when the actual price that the manufacturer is getting is $40.
I'm wondering, Antonio, if people in your line of work or in the pharmaceutical business have learned anything from the pandemic and the distribution of vaccines, because the vaccines do cost money to produce, but right now they're so widely available. They're free here in the United States for the most part. You can get one of three widely available vaccines and not pay anything for it. Is this teaching us anything about the distribution of drugs and that sort of thing in this country that has long challenged with healthcare?
Well, I would say that we definitely have learned a thing or two about what happens when patient cost sharing is nothing. I actually came from the pharmacy world. My previous work was with the Ohio Pharmacists Association. I came from a pharmacy family. And when I was a pharmacy technician years ago working behind the counter, you know, I saw it every day where a patient, if they were charged a $20, $30 copay, they might choose to just leave that at the pharmacy counter. And in the pharmacy world, we call that prescription drug abandonment. If the vaccine has taught us anything, it's that exposing a patient to excessively high out-of-pocket expenditures is a recipe for disaster, because that patient will forego that medication, or in the case of the vaccine, the vaccination. So one of the unfair things about this system is that we have very high list prices for medications, but as we said, there's large discounts to be had. And so what I believe is a wrong thing to do is to expose a patient to excessive out-of-pocket costs when, in fact, their insurance companies are negotiating through their PBMs large discounts off of that. So to your point, I think there is a lesson to be learned. Patients should pay the smallest amount possible at the point of sale as a way to maximize the utilization of drugs that we need them to be taking to stay alive.
That's Antonio Chacha, president of Three Axis Advisors and the CEO of 46 Brooklyn Research. We're also joined by Sally Greenberg, executive director of the National Consumers League. Sally, I'd like to talk to you a bit about that as well, because healthcare reform about a decade ago was really divisive in spite of a lot of evidence that suggested this country had poor health outcomes and needed to increase accessibility to healthcare for a significant portion of its population. And we heard Antonio talk a bit about insulin, and that is often still referenced as something that costs entirely too much for people who rely on it to survive. When we think about the cost of PBMs in the delivery of healthcare in this country, as characterized by your advocacy, is there a role for the Congress to take this up? Do you see that there is any type of political will to address further disparities in the healthcare system in this country?
You know, I think there is an interest among key members of Congress in this particular issue, and I would hope the larger issue of access to healthcare. We're very strong advocates of Medicare, Medicaid expansion in states that have not chosen to do so. We strongly advocate expanding access to Medicaid, because you end up, if people don't have to worry about paying a doctor, or as Antonio said, paying that copay, you know, that copay is very fluid. If you start raising copays for consumers from $5 to $10, even $5 is a barrier to some low income or older consumers. So the higher that number goes, the more you're going to have what Antonio called drug abandonment, or we call them orphan drugs that sit on the shelf because the patient walks up and they go, oh, I owe $35. Well, I don't have $35, so I guess I'll just have to forego my life-saving drug this month. So that's COVID has taught us. We're still not where we need to be with COVID vaccinations. We'd like to see the number go much higher. But certainly having the access having it be free is a great incentive for people to take it up. But you asked me about Congress, and I wanted to mention a very interesting report that came out of the Finance Committee, which focuses on healthcare in the U.S. Senate. A bipartisan report in 2019 highlighted the role of PBMs. And though it focused on the pharmaceutical industry and how prices had gone up for insulin, because insulin is a very, obviously very critically important part of a lot of people's medical care, and it keeps people with diabetes alive. What they said is those prices are going up because of PBMs demanding higher and higher rebates. And in order for these companies to get their drugs on what we call formularies or lists that will provide that your health insurance will allow you to have access to. So they have a list of the drugs you're allowed to have access to, and then certain other drugs don't make it. But in order to get on that list, the formulary it's called, you have to, these companies are being basically forced to pay higher and higher rebates. And what the 2019 report in the Senate Finance Committee, and it was bipartisan, the senator from Iowa, who's a Republican, Charles Grassley, and the senator from Oregon, who's a Democrat, Ron Wyden, did the report together. And they said it's the PBMs are creating this pressure to raise drug prices higher and higher and higher in order to meet the need to get on those formularies. So I think Congress does have an appetite for looking at this. We also need state legislatures to take steps. I know that Ohio has, I know the governor of Ohio, Governor DeWine, signed on the operating budget several key provisions addressing that needed pharmacy benefit managers reforms, including an option for a PBM reverse auction. And just in shorthand, what that means is the PBMs have to compete for the state's business, not the other way around. So they have to give the state a fair price and not be siphoning off all of these profits in order to do business with the state. And that is a step forward for Ohio. There are other things Ohio could do, but we need a federal response and we need a state legislative response.
Antonio, can you tell us about any type of disparity between the consumer and just simply understanding the way drugs are priced and what can be done to address that?
Unfortunately, because you have a multi-layered system, there's no such thing as price, because anytime there's more than one price, you don't have a price. And so we saw this firsthand in Ohio. This is actually how we got our start. I mentioned I was working at the Pharmacists Association. You know, pharmacies were getting underpaid in our Medicaid managed care program in Ohio, to the point where Ohio pharmacies, we saw a loss of about 200 pharmacies net just 3 years ago. That's tremendously important public health infrastructure that we needed at the time and still need to this day. But while the pharmacies were getting underpaid through the Medicaid program, the PBMs were racking up huge charges and billing higher amounts back to our state Medicaid program. Our data work prompted an investigation from the state auditor, who was Dave Yost at the time. Today, he's state attorney general. And they found that while pharmacies were being underpaid on the pharmacy claims, the PBMs were charging $244 million in just 1 year of Medicaid managed care back to the state of Ohio. Well, now that he's state attorney general, Dave Yost has launched a fraud, waste, and abuse investigation into one of the PBMs that was involved in the mess. And just as recently as 2 months ago, they came back after denying the charges and settled the claims and agreed to pay back $88 million to the state of Ohio, $55 million for similar activities in Mississippi, and the company set aside $1.1 billion to settle fraud, waste, and abuse claims in other states across the country. This ability for PBMs to set a price on one end and create a different price on the other end is the major inflationary mechanism in the drug supply chain that's exposing all of us, not just patients, but employers who are paying for benefits as well, and state government programs as well. So we all pay for that as taxpayers. Ohio has been tip of the spear in rooting out that problem and creating more clarity in the drug supply chain. So to answer your question on how we as consumers kind of get the brunt end of that, Ohio's been in a leading capacity to actually get all that garbage out of the system and return some of that savings back to all of us as patients and taxpayers.
That's Antonio Ciaccia, president of 3-Axis Advisors and CEO of 46 Brooklyn Research. We've also been joined by Sally Greenleague. Antonio, Sally, thanks to both of you for the time you gave us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for
hosting the discussion.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.